I consider it a real honor today to present to the BYU continuing education audience a great man. Very frequently we see or hear someone say what happiness is. And today I would like to say that happiness is Elder Robert L. Simpson. You can see it radiated in his smile. It shines in his face and it rings in his voice. He is a very pleasant person to be around, and he just radiates happiness to all of us. Elder Simpson started out in Salt Lake City, but then he moved to Southern California and spent most of the years of his life there. He had his schooling there, graduated from the Santa Monica City College, and for some 20 years was with the Pacific Telephone Company. So he's had many years of business experience. But I guess the thing that sets him apart for all of us is the great years of service and contribution that he has had in the church. Most of you will know that he served as a mission president to New Zealand, where he had served at an earlier time as a full-time missionary. He'd been a member of a ward bishopric, on a stake high council, a stake mission president, a stake YMMIA superintendent. He served during the World War II years, at the time that he was an Air Force captain, in the Air Force, as the coordinator for the servicemen's organization of the church. It was from California that he was called to serve as a member of the presiding bishopric in 1961. And then just a little over a year ago in April, he was called to his present position as an assistant to the Council of the Twelve. And so here is a man who has dedicated great service to the Lord in the church. I'd like to say that the nicest thing that I know about Elder Simpson is his wife, Jalair, who sits at his side, and sitting next to them is their daughter, Christine, as the President Oakes has indicated. They have two sons who are not here today, and this is a great and a wonderful family. Here is a man who is warm, who loves the Lord, and we love him. And Elder Simpson, we're pleased to turn the time to you.
My beloved brothers and sisters, I have a deep and abiding testimony of this work. And I have only one objective here today, and that is to impart to you, in sincerity and with conviction, the knowledge that I have, that sure knowledge that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ. With you, I love the church, and with you, I have daily assurance that Heavenly Father is in His place, that He is mindful of us. In contemplation of this hour, I was up at the crack of dawn this morning, and I watched the sunrise. And you know what? It came up right on schedule. Right when Weldy said it was going to come, there it was. And I've been taught in my life that the universe is controlled by the priesthood and the power of the priesthood. And I had assurance this morning when I saw the sun come up that indeed Heavenly Father is in His place, that all is in order, and you and I are blessed to be a part of it. And I was grateful to have the ride down here with my sweetheart and companion, and to feel again that closeness and assurance and support that I always find in her presence. And as Brother Craven was giving the invocation, former New Zealand mission president, I couldn't help but remember the great honor that came to Sister Simpson and me and our family as we were called by President McKay to go down and preside over that same New Zealand mission. And I'm going to take the liberty to just tell you one short story. And that story is this. Sitting at my desk in Southern California, about an hour before lunchtime, taking care of the routines of the day, the telephone rings, and as I pick up the receiver, "Brother Simpson, this is David O. McKay speaking." And I couldn't believe my ears. A prophet of God wouldn't be calling me 800 miles away, but there was no mistaking that voice, and it was the voice of a prophet. "Yes, President, what can I do for you?" And then, of course, during the next few moments, a call came to preside over a great mission of the church. And like most of you, after receiving a call from your priesthood authority, the same routine questions went through my mind. Why me? And all the usual mental gyrations. And finally, I thought to myself as I sat there wondering, well, now I suppose President McKay felt the inspiration to call someone who had a knowledge of the Maori language. But immediately I was able to list at least another dozen missionaries who had as good or better qualifications than I in the Maori language. And then I thought, well, maybe President McKay wanted someone who's had some administrative experience in the church and the Bishopric High Council. And again, I listed a dozen missionaries who had had like or even better experience than I. And then the thought finally came to my mind, and this I give you as sheer inspiration, but not one of these others is married to Jalaire Chandler. Only you have Jalaire Chandler as a support and a companion, and that's why you have been called to preside over the New Zealand mission. I believe that with all my heart and soul. And I believe that all else being equal, that Heavenly Father takes into most serious consideration the support of a husband, a wife, as one is pressed into service in this church. For I testify to you that no one can excel in his routine assignment, and no one can excel in his great goal of exaltation, except there be a sweetheart and a companion at his or her side who feels just as strongly, who has just as much anxiety about doing what needs to be done as the companion. Well, now, brothers and sisters, this work is true. And I'm always intrigued and caught on fire by the spirit of youth in the church. Like the young lady I heard bearing her testimony recently at a state conference when called on extemporaneously, she stood up and she said, "Brothers and sisters, this gospel is so true, I can't believe it." Well, you'd better believe it. And she believed it. And I'm so grateful that we have this spirit in the church, the spirit of youth. And I see many young people here today seeking and reaching and grasping for opportunities to learn more that they might better prepare themselves. But your testimony and my testimony has brought us here together. And without a testimony of the truth of this work, you and I would be someplace else doing something else. But we're here because we believe the work, and we're here because we love the Lord, and we're here because we want to qualify ourselves in that great assignment. But your testimony is different from any other testimony in the church. Your testimony is unique. Just as your combination of physical appearance and mental ability, social aptitudes, and spiritual capacity is unique, all of these contribute towards your testimony. And so your testimony is the product of your past effort, your various backgrounds, your experiences, and your sensitivity to things that are spiritual. And so no two testimonies are exactly alike. And the testimony that you have has a place in the kingdom of God. And there is someone that your testimony will appeal to. because your testimony is different than any other. And so in the mission field, we find thousands of missionaries. We find missionaries plowing the same ground that missionaries have plowed before. But here comes a missionary, in the eyes of the world, probably much less qualified than others who have gone before. But there is a responsive chord as this missionary tells his story and bears his witness, because his testimony fits the person he's speaking with. I'm grateful that you're here today to improve that testimony that you have and to further qualify yourself in the great responsibility that we all have. Brothers and sisters, I would like to give about 4 suggestions here today concerning testimony. If you would have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you must be informed about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that's probably what brought you to this great leadership week here at Brigham Young University. You must be informed about the life of Jesus Christ and about priesthood principles. There is no other way. This is life eternal, that they might know me, know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We seek for life eternal, for exaltation. And only as we learn to know our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ can we possibly be equipped to do that which needs to be done. There's no other way to be motivated. There's no other way to achieve this great objective. It is the desire of each and every one here today. When we want to know about chemistry, we enroll in a course in chemistry. If we want to know about politics, we enroll in political science. Finance, in the school of finance. But if you want to know about Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ and priesthood principles, we study the scriptures. And while it's wonderful that we have classes to go to, both in the ward and stake and here at Leadership Week and here at Brigham Young University and in our institute program and the seminary programs, this is not enough. There must be time for individual involvement in the scriptures. And this is where we come in. We must carve some time out of every day of our lives to find some time, a little island of time that is all ours, that we might read another chapter in the Book of Mormon, another section in the Doctrine and Covenants. Is there such an island of time in every day of your life? If your life is like mine, things get rather hectic as the day progresses, and there's no way of predicting whether that 15 or 20 minutes is going to just pop up automatically. Usually it doesn't. And I believe with all my heart and soul that unless we are able to manufacture the time, and may I suggest something like 5:30 or 6 in the morning, if you're looking for a little quiet time in your life, you just can't believe how quiet it is in your house at 5:30 or 6 in the morning. There's no pitter-patter of little feet. The telephone won't ring. Nobody will come to the front door. Might be the milkman, but he won't ring the doorbell. And at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, you can qualify yourself on a continuing basis. There's a saying that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to him who endures to the end. And so if we can just somehow qualify ourselves on a daily basis to learn more about Heavenly Father and His Son, I promise you we will indeed be better qualified in the work. As I think in this vein, I think of these great sons of Messiah. Let me turn very quickly to the 17th chapter of Alma and read what is recorded here about the sons of Alma in the 17th chapter. The sons of Messiah, and it says that these great young missionaries had searched the scriptures diligently that they might know the word of God. This is how they qualified themselves. And that isn't all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting I think this should always be a companion piece to diligent study of the Scriptures. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and the authority of God. And that's how we can teach, as we become qualified in His Word and as we fortify ourselves in the Scriptures of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you would have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, point number two, be willing. Be willing to do that which needs to be done at the appointed hour, whether it's convenient for you to do it or whether it is not. I think Heavenly Father has said it well as He records in the 38th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Let me turn quickly to that section and read what the Lord has said. And again I say unto you, and I give unto you a commandment, that every man, both elder, priest, teacher, and also member, everyone, to go with his might, with the labor of his hands, to prepare and accomplish the things which I have commanded. And so we have a commission and a commandment. He uses the word commandment to go forth and energetically and enthusiastically do this work that needs to be done. And then he says in the next verse something that I think is very important as we prepare to go forth in this manner. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. It is unthinkable that we can go forth and be effective in this great church if we allow pornography to clutter our minds, if we are attending motion pictures that we know are not compatible with the teachings of this church. Now, I think you and I have to use this kind of self-discipline that the Lord has given us and the thinking mechanism out here that will enable us to make a proper decision and keep our minds and our hearts in a proper perspective to do that which He has given us to do. I'd like to give one more reference, if I may, on initiative, because I believe that initiative and faith are tied hand in hand. I believe that initiative is a demonstration of our faith, and Heavenly Father is able to tell very well the depth of a man's faith by how he performs in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reading now from the 58th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, verses 26 and 27. For behold, it is not meet that I should command in all things. For he that is compelled in all things the same as a slothful and not a wise servant. Wherefore he receiveth no reward. And verily I say, verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness. And so Heavenly Father has been very clear and explicit in telling us how we should be willing to go forth without a commandment at every turn of the road, because we know the way to go. We know the things that need to be done. But this is a church of doing. This is a church of involvement. This is a church of delegation. And if you haven't found that out already, you will. And you will be receiving many calls in your lifetime so long as you are qualified in the work and keep yourself ready. Heavenly Father has said, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. I used to think when I was a little bit younger, Heavenly Father cannot be involved in eternal progression. He's arrived. But now I know better. I know that He receives further glorification, further exaltation, further progress through you and me in our success as we achieve and qualify ourselves for eternal life. Our Heavenly Father is glorified. And so He is anxious that we succeed. He is anxious that we have this kind of success. Excuse me. Wouldn't it be a simple thing for Heavenly Father to take things into His own hands and guarantee that this work move forward and that not one soul be lost? But doesn't this strike a familiar chord in your mind of someone else's plan? Why, of course it is. The whole structure of this church that you and I are involved in has to do with free agency and with the ability to make our own decisions. Heavenly Father, for example, could blazon across the heavens tonight, across this Utah Valley, across the whole state of Utah, or across the whole United States, in big neon letters or anything else He might choose to use. He's created heaven and earth, and He could just blazon across these heavens tonight, "The Mormon Church is my true church." We'd really pack Him in next Sunday, wouldn't we? We'd have the parking lots filled. We'd have every recreation hall filled. We couldn't contain all the people. There's only one thing wrong with that plan, and that is that next week these same people would be looking up to find out where the sign was and see if they had to go to church again next Sunday. And if people come into this church through a miracle of that type, it'll be a miracle if they stay in this church. And so we teach His work, line upon line, precept upon precept, individual bearing testimony to individual. That has been the key from the beginning. It continues to be, and it will always be. What a simple thing it would be, in line with this same reasoning, for Heavenly Father to have a big video screen here before you this morning. In every classroom on this campus, and as you go to your various departments, instead of having a guest lecture, a guest speaker, we would have the master teacher up here on closed-circuit television giving you the greatest sermon that you've ever heard, and in the classroom teaching you as you've never been taught before. But it is not the plan that the master teacher use closed-circuit television to teach you and me, because He expects you and I to grow as we teach one another. And that's the process. Now, speaking of delegation of responsibility, sometimes we take this for granted in the church, and we don't realize that we belong to a church that's unique, and it's great, and like no other church there is, as far as I know. When Brother Scott Whitaker and I lived down in Southern California, and we were doing some stake missionary work, I had a telephone call about 11 o'clock one night, and some of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it because I think it puts a point across here, and the voice on the other end said, "Is this Robert L. Simpson?" "It is." "Are you a member of the Mormon Church?" "I am." "Are you the one that was down in New Zealand on a mission?" "Yes, sir." "We have a problem. I think you can help me. Please tell me the problem." And then he went on to explain that he was a member of such and such a church. And I knew the name immediately. It was an evangelist church in Southern California that ran a full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times every weekend. And it advertised the meeting in the Shrine Auditorium, seating capacity 7,000 people, and it was usually filled to capacity every Sunday. Their minister, Dr. Clem Davies, great evangelist, great speaker, very popular. And then the word was given to me by this man who called, "Dr. Clem Davies has just been rushed to the hospital for an emergency operation. He's unable to take his service tomorrow morning in the Shrine Auditorium. We don't know where to turn. Can you please come and take it for him?" 7,000 people in that Shrine Auditorium tomorrow morning, but no one who has had the experience or has qualified himself to carry on in the absence of their leader, Dr. Clem Davies. I was very pleased to accept that invitation. This man on the telephone didn't know it, but I was a stake mission president at that time. And I called my stake missionaries up to tell them that our meeting the next morning had to be postponed because of what had happened. And I should have known, because when I got to the Shrine Auditorium, they were all lined up there in the front row. And we had a good morning, believe me. But as I arrived, they took me backstage. "Here's the agenda for the morning service." And sure enough, down the left side, opening prayer, closing prayer, everything in between, 10 or 11 items. And down the right side, who's going to do it? Robert L. Simpson, with ditto marks all the way down except for two musical items. And I'm certainly glad they had someone else for that. Too bad Elaine Carr couldn't have been there. She would have been tremendous. Well, now, brothers and sisters, this church is different. Just one other thing about the Shrine Auditorium. I got down to the gospel sermon, and I made my first good point in this gospel sermon, and I really found out I was someplace else. I got back a 7,000. Hallelujah, brother. Well, and you know, it's kind of good to know how you're getting along, to get a little feedback. And I don't say this critically. These were good people. These were good people. But they didn't have what you and I have. And that's the only point I make. This church of involvement, this church of delegation of responsibility, this church of everyone having an opportunity to qualify himself for the very presence of our Heavenly Father, it's wonderful, it's glorious. And sometimes I'm afraid we take it for granted. I hope we don't take it for granted any longer. Number three. If you would have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, be available. Be available to the gifts of the Spirit, that you might be able to do the work that the Lord has in mind for you. Because in and of yourself, you are incapable of total success in the work of our Heavenly Father. But with the gifts of the Spirit and being worthy of those gifts, there is nothing that Heavenly Father cannot accomplish through us. I think Nephi of old had this in mind when Heavenly Father came to him, when he was totally perplexed, totally blocked from that which he felt he had to do, and the Lord says that he gives no commission to the children of men except he prepare a way for us to accomplish that which he's given us to do. And that is done through the gifts of the Spirit, provided we have taken the first step, provided we have qualified ourselves that these gifts might work within us. I like the scripture found in the third chapter of Revelations, about the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the Savior speaking. Any man who opens the door and hears my voice, lo, I will come in and be with him, and him with me. But what is the condition? If we open the door, the Savior will come into our lives and help us and assist us and magnify our gifts and our talents, that we might be able to do that which has been given us to do. And how do we open the door? We open the door by having uncluttered minds, uncontaminated bodies, by having a knowledge of what's contained in the standard works of the church, so Heavenly Father can indeed bless us and magnify us and lift us up. For he has said, without me, ye can do nothing. You found that out, and I found that out on occasion. Without him, we can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, my fourth point and final point, if you would keep your testimony, give it away. Give it away. God's ways are not man's ways. The mind of man would say, if you want to keep something, put it in the bank and hoard it, lock it up with a key. But the Lord says, if you want to keep these spiritual gifts, you don't hoard them and lock them up, you give them away and share them with other people. And that's why we have more than 16,000 missionaries out in the world teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ on every continent. And that's why we qualify ourselves to go back to our neighborhoods, to lift people and to have a proper attitude and be a proper example to the people that we meet. And I want to promise you, my brothers and sisters, that as we involve ourselves in this work, we are participating in the most important thing that the Lord has to do in this time of the world's history. From the very first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the very first thought that he gives in his latter-day revelation, hearken, ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the islands of the sea, listen together. For verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape. And there is no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. Can you see how all-encompassing this work needs to be? And the voice of warning shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days. You're a disciple of Christ. Some people think only apostles are disciples. Disciples are followers, and you're a follower of Christ. And this shall be accomplished by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days. Ever heard of foreordination? You've been foreordained for something great. And they shall go forth, and none shall stay them. None shall stay them. For I, the Lord, have commanded them. Behold, this is mine authority, and the authority of my servants. I find confidence and strength in that kind of a statement. And I want to promise you that we're a part of something that is eternal and more important than anything upon the face of the earth today. And if we don't realize it and recognize it, we need to gain that testimony by indeed improving our gospel scholarship, by indeed being willing to do the work, by indeed being available to the gifts of the Spirit, and perpetuating it by giving it away. And that's the only way we can keep it in all this world. You know, it's just like being in a relay race. You come here to this leadership week, and now you're going to go home. And unless something happens when you get home, I think this week has been wasted. Down in Southern California, sitting in the great Los Angeles Coliseum, here's a world record-setting relay team ready to run a competition, and it was predicted that they would break a new world's record that night. And everything went fine until the last pass of the baton was dropped. And this world championship team came in last because someone became careless, because someone became over-anxious, because someone dropped the baton. Now, may I put it in this framework? You come here to Leadership Week to be taught by those who have received their instruction and inspiration from a prophet of God and from the standard works of the church. And you are the third man on this relay team, and you catch the baton here at BYU, and you go home to pass the baton as you give yourself to your family, to your priesthood leadership, to your neighbors, as you indeed become a missionary of the very finest example. And if you drop the baton, the whole race has been wasted. You are the one that must cross the finish line. You're the one that makes the most important pass of all, as you now reach out to bless other people with that which you have received. And if you hoard it inside of you, if you refuse to share what you've received here, if it doesn't glorify your life and enlighten your soul and set you apart as a light on a hill, as a beacon, as it were, then indeed we have not been a profitable servant in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, this work is true. I bear you that solemn witness. Oh, that I could take you with me as we go into that upper room and meet with a prophet of God and hear him bear his testimony, as we hear him share with us some intimate detail in the life of the Savior, as we hear him tell the story that we've heard 100 times before, as only a prophet might tell that story, with the feeling that so few men in history have had with the Savior of the world. You know for an assurity that this man is a prophet, that we are led by divine inspiration, that his relationship with deity is special and real, and for our benefit, May we listen well as a prophet of God speaks to us, whether it be through the Ensign magazine, whether it be at conference time, whether it be through the church news. May we listen well as a prophet of God speaks, that we might be edified, that we might be better prepared to carry the baton across the finish line and touch the lives of people we come in contact with, because that is the eternal process that you and I are involved in, and that is the obligation that we have as His children and members of this church. May we do it well. I pray humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.